Let me start out by wishing all your mothers a blessed Mother's Day. We're all grateful for the faithful devotion and love of our mothers. So, secondly, many of you are at least familiar with seeing me, if you haven't met me already. My name's Reverend Mike Kettner. I served 31 years as a pastor in Illinois, in central Illinois, and then later southern Illinois. So my wife and I both retired a year ago. We moved here to Pittsburgh to be here because my oldest daughter and her husband and three little boys live here. I wish you all God's blessings. First reading for the seventh Sunday of Easter is from the Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers, a company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language Alkadama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they put forward two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is taken from the first epistle of St. John, the fifth chapter. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he is born concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in what we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Jesus said, "Holy Father, keep them in your name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Savior Jesus Christ. Under the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle John wrote, "If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has bore concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has bore concerning his Son." And this is the testimony, and it's also the main point that I want to drive home today, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Thus far, the text. There is a whole lot of wishful thinking going on in the world around us, of thinking that when a person dies, they will have a happy afterlife, of thinking that a person's next life will be better than this life. When you ask people what their eternal hope is based on, you get all kinds of answers. The most common answer being, "I don't really know. I guess I try to be a good person. I guess I try my best." And yet the Bible tells us over and over again that trying your best and trying to be a good person just isn't good enough when it comes to getting to heaven. As the Apostle Paul wrote, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and by the works of the law no flesh will be justified in God's sight." As much as a person likes to think that he or she is a good person, the sad reality is that none of us loves God as much as we should. None of us loves other people as much as ourselves. On the outside, people can be pretty good people. But on the inside, we are all selfish, sinful human beings who are more concerned about our own happiness than about the needs of others. To be sure, most people learn to make sacrifices for others, be it their spouses, children, family, or friends. But to use the language of Martin Luther, we are all curved in on ourselves. It seems to me that the number one goal of life for most people is simply to be happy. And yet when it comes to eternal life and getting to heaven, simply wanting to be happy is not good enough. Through the centuries, many fairy tales and fables have been written in which the main character lives happily ever after, be it Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, and more recently, The Little Mermaid. A lot of times, it has to do with finding the prince or the princess of their dreams. The sad reality is that there is no such thing as happily ever after in this world. because this world will come to an end for each and every person, either through death or through the glorious return of our Lord on the last day. And then what? What comes after death? What comes after the glorious return of our Savior on the last day? When most people think of happily ever after and eternal life, they think about the forever and ever aspect of it. When the Apostle John wrote about eternal life in his gospel, his three epistles, and the book of Revelation, he not only talked about the forever and ever aspect of eternal life, he also talked about the content and the essence of eternal life. Or to put it differently, eternal life is not just about some future reality for people who trusted Jesus. Eternal life is a present reality the moment a person comes to faith in Jesus, regardless of whether that faith first comes in holy baptism or simply through the hearing of the gospel. To possess eternal life is to possess Jesus and faith in Jesus. Eternal life and faith in Jesus go hand in hand. Not just when a person dies, but right here and right now. To have eternal life is to have faith in Jesus. Eternal life and faith in Jesus are two sides of the same coin. As Jesus put it in John 17, verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Or to quote John 3, verse 36, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life." Eternal life is the special relationship that a believer has with God the Father and God the Son, both in this world and in the next world. As for the unbeliever, the Bible never uses the word life or eternal life to describe their existence following the resurrection of the dead and the judgment that will follow. In their case, the Bible uses words like death, condemnation, and destruction to describe their ongoing existence. The reason being, eternal life is not just about the forever and ever. It is also about a person's relationship with God the Father and God the Son. As Jesus put it in his Sermon on the Mount, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. But the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it." Jesus explained what that small gate and that narrow path are when he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And so it is that in the New Testament, the definition of eternal life is to know Jesus or to live in Jesus. After recording the death and resurrection of Jesus in his gospel, the Apostle John wrote, "Many other signs, therefore, Jesus performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name." Eternal life is about believing and trusting in Jesus, not only when you get to heaven, but also here on earth. Not just in the future, but also in the present. If you believe and trust in Jesus right now, then you already have eternal life right now. To be sure, eternal life in this world still has its share of ups and downs, as we are sinful people living in a sinful world, Eternal life in the next world, however, will only have joys and happiness. In the second to last chapter of the Bible, the Apostle John described heaven for believers upon our Lord's return in the following way. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle, that is the tent of God, is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them, and he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death, and there shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away." And yet, the unbelieving world around us doesn't see things that way. Or to put it differently, lots of people think Jesus, God, and the Bible have it all wrong. Many modern Americans say, "You live your life, I'll live mine. You do your thing, and I'll do mine. Don't judge me, and I won't judge you. And in the end, we'll see how things work out." Modern America wants you to believe that there are many different religions, philosophies, and lifestyles that lead to lasting happiness. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John disagree with them. And so do Peter, Paul, and Jesus. Life in this world can be difficult and harsh for believer and unbeliever alike. Life in this world can be stressful and painful, both physically and emotionally. People can feel unwanted and unloved. And yet Jesus offers every single person a life in him that in this world still has its share of ups and downs, but in eternity has only ups. As Jesus put it, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my load is light." In conclusion, then, Jesus does not offer you a life in this world that is free of suffering and pain. But he does offer you a life in the next world that is free of suffering and pain. Therefore, to repeat the words of 1 John one last time, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. To Jesus, our one and only Savior, be all honor and glory both now and forevermore. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, keeps your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Conquer the night if we walk in the light of love. light. We must believe.